Yes, Rollins.
I love it. I caught him off mic.
I stepped
away. It is wonderful.
I stepped back.
You get bills every other day, don't you?
Every other day.
Okay. I have another poetic thought for us today.
Please.
Okay. I got a bill the other day, and I saw a bill the other day, and I was taken by surprise. There was no stamp to mark it paid, and never will, and that is wise. The items were of noble thought, 10 items all and in a row, and numbered in the Roman way from I to X in even flow. The first one was about some things we rarely give a thought about, the right to faith and gathered groups and saying things by speaking out. Protection was then on the list, and bearing arms, if so you choose. It talked about militias too, so no one's freedom is abused. The third one had to do with force of soldiers living in your space. It could not be without consent unless the law does grant the grace. The fourth one had to do with search of you, your home, and papers too, unless there is a reason cause that law and man can't misconstrue. The fifth one was a longer one, dealing with one's self-conviction. All have the right to talk or not when accused of malediction. The next one dealt with one's arrest and a quick and speedy trial. The right to counsel was there too, to tell the court of one's denial. The seventh was a master one. In all the suits of common law, your peers decide the truth or not, no court can change what juries saw. The eighth is one of great import, to keep us from excessive fines or cruel and strange type punishment if we're convicted of a crime. The ninth is all about the rights set in the Constitution's list, but even rights not listed there are equal and both coexist. 10 talks about the document, and if the wording is not there, the states and people keep the rights so that there is a balance fair. Carl, no money pays this sacred bill. The rights are free and can't be bought. They're guarantees for one and all, paid by the blood of those who fought.
That's wonderful. And we forget our Bill of Rights, and particularly, you're right, number 7 is particularly one that is genius in itself, the right to be judged by your peers in a court of law. Because it allows the common person to have an even keel, and the right of jurisprudence, the right to be able to state your case and have others judge that, it goes back in many ways. It goes far back as the Greeks, but it was emblazoned and emboldened in our system of jurisprudence in this country under the Bill of Rights, and very, very clear, very, very clear.
Well, you know, I wrote that every once in a while, I will look back on some of the great documents that America has for all of us to view and to read and to try to understand. And when I did, for some reason, I had that inspiration for this particular poem, you know, being a bill due and all that, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I still like to go back and read the preamble to the Constitution. To read the Constitution itself. I mean, these magnificent words that Jefferson crafted in a time of war, in a time of, not really, wasn't war yet. It was a time of great consternation, a time of the desire for liberty. I truly think that the spirit of American democracy through its established republic was something that was divinely inspired.
Many have said it, but I don't believe the general public really quite understands the extraordinary nature of the founding fathers. Either they were walking on a different, ephemeral plane, high up on the mountains, in the clouds someplace, because every word that they have ever uttered, that they put on paper, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, for God's sake, the preamble, they are chiseled in stone for all time. They spun the world on its ear, changed the world forever, and they literally created a new history for humankind on this planet. And that's remarkable for men of that time. For that time. That's remarkable.
And it's also remarkable that 200 plus years later, we're still following some of those things.
Yes.
But there was a wonderful story about by Manly P. Hall, who wrote a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages. It's a very esoteric kind of book, but it's the kind of thing that I like to read into every once in a while. And he told the story in that particular book, supposedly, of the argument going on at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia back in the early 1700s, mm-hmm. the 1770s. And he said, it's been reported by a very few chroniclers of that time, but apparently the discussion was very argumentative as to what they should do and say to King George at the time. And supposedly there was a person, a man, a being or whatever, who stood up in the gallery at Constitution Hall mm-hmm. and said, God meant America to be free, but he did so with great stentorian elegance so that it truly moved the delegates to the convention.
I remember that story.
And I don't know if it's true or not. It doesn't matter whether it's true.
It's one of those stories that is passed on, whether it's true or not. I remember it so many years ago now as they used to call it the orator in the balcony mm-hmm. Speech.
Right, right.
And whatever, whether it happened or not, it's folklore, if you will. But that folklore is within the system upon which created this extraordinary document. And you and I are both a men of words, okay? And I am a man of words when it gets hit.
Sometimes we're both too many words.
Too many. Okay. And that's when.
Just thought I'd point that out before the audience does.
Zaire, yeah. Our producer over here, goes, cut, that's the end of that, you're out. And we do a lot of that, but as being men of words, these words were so extraordinary. And I've read the Constitution, every time I look at it, it's amazing at what they did in it. Yep, we must remember the time upon which they did it in. When kings were absolute, when the rule of the aristocracy was absolute, this was their word was God. Okay, when they said it, you followed. They were changing the playing field for all time.
But of course,
for all time.
We don't need to go back into the efficacy of the Constitutional Convention. And
you talked about doing that once. We should bring some people on that can actually.
Oh, you know, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder how that would work. Here's the idea. You get we once had if you recall, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Bidlack.
That's correct.
As a guest, but he came on because he portrays Alexander Hamilton
does a beautiful
under you know theatrical circumstances.
Correct.
Along with a friend of his who does Thomas Jefferson. And they do the arguments back and forth, which is fine. But it would be interesting to get somebody who is knowledgeable enough to what the person in history had to say that we could have an interview discussion to see how that would work out.
I would love to do that. It would just be fun.
But didn't Steve Allen do that?
Yes, he did.
Now, what was that called? You Are There or something?
And he would have these people on. It was Steve Allen. I cannot remember the name of the show, where he would have conversations with Abraham Lincoln, every historical person, like General MacArthur and so on down the line. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful, wonderful. We should try that. Let's give it a go.
Or if you could be any character in history, who would that be?
Oh, gosh.
Well, besides Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny.
Einstein.
I'm sorry, only kidding.
I'd be wonderful Daffy
Duck.
You picked
a good one.
I'd be the roadrunner, deep, deep.
No, it's meep.
Meep.
Anyway.
No, Albert Einstein.
So you would pick Einstein.
I would pick Einstein.
Do you think you could learn enough about the way he thought I know philosophically he was far more spiritually attuned than most people think he was.
Yes, and he understood the cosmos. And yes, I feel I could do that. We should try doing that sometime.
We should have a dialogue between Einstein and Carl Sagan.
Let's try that. I like that. Let's do that. See how it works.
Well, anyway, now you've got about, 12 seconds.
You've got to give me the clock. And the clock is Carl Sabatino and Ross.
No, you have 30
seconds. I've got 30 seconds.
You have 30 seconds if you'd like to take them and talk about anything that's important to you in your life.
What's important in my life is my little one.
Yes, indeed.
And she's doing well. And we're hearing things coming in from I don't know where.
But anyway.
Someone is talking to
us. Until next time, right?
Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. Until next time.
Weekend. Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668. 8.